This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. 877-217-5757 is your number and our email, talk@talklouisiana.org. Two distinguished professors at campuses in our great state, Dane Sherman and Hammond at Southeastern Louisiana University and Jeff Sato in Shreveport at LSU's branch in the great city of Shreveport. They're here to talk politics, Dane on the left, Jeff on the right, and we'll hit some national and local politicians and issues. And if you'd like to chime in again, 877-217-5757. Next week is qualifying. The governor of Louisiana will qualify for a second term that he hopes to receive either on October 12th or November 16th. And he'll be challenged by at least two Republicans, one of whom is spending gobs of money trying to unseat the governor, Eddie Rasponi, and the other of whom is a sitting congressman in Ralph Abraham. And Jeff Sato, you have been an occasional critic of our governor. Do you think he's vulnerable with 10 weeks to go before the election?
Yeah, sure. My outlook hasn't changed. It's still basically a coin flip. It's got some things going for him, some things he doesn't.
Why is it a coin flip?
Well, you know, for one thing, if we look at the trend of past statewide elections, so including federal and state candidates, you know, obviously his is the only win in the last 10 or so years. So you've got that inertia. And, you know, for a lot of voters, they're fairly casual in their thinking. You know, that politics is not something they think about every day. And so at some point, they come home to their roots. And that, again, has been in the direction of the Republican Party. The question is whether the Republican candidates out there can activate that. We don't know that yet. If they do, then Edwards is going to end up losing.
877-217-5757. Jeff Sato is differing from some of his Republican brothers and sisters who believe that John Bel Edwards is probably headed for re-election. But Jeff is correct. We are in a solidly red state, and John Bel Edwards, for whatever reason, rebuffed overtures from the president to switch parties. He's running as a Democrat. And it's not a very comfortable party to be affiliated with when you're running statewide in Louisiana. But does that really matter in this race, Dane Sherman?
I don't think it does, because I don't believe John Bel has some really good competitors out there. You've got Rasponi, who didn't even show up for the debate yesterday. I mean, what is he thinking? I mean, he can buy ads all he wants and say, you know, talk real fast with a high-pitched voice and say he likes the president, but that's not going to win him the election. I mean, and then you've got Ralph Abraham, who has just not done his job in Washington. Those are not two strong candidates. They're in no way, shape, or form as strong a candidates as David Bitter was. And so you see that John Bel has an incredibly good track record. He's done great for this state. And unlike the two that are one has no money, Ralph Abraham. The other one has plenty of money but no charisma. That's Rasponi. John Bel Edwards is actually hitting the trail and actually selling it to the people that he needs four more years. So I think it's more like a 75-25% chance that he will be reelected.
Now, yesterday, as Dane noted, Professor Sherman, there was a debate in Monroe or a forum. Ralph Abraham showed that's in his territory, of course, in his congressional district. John Bel Edwards was there, but Eddie Rasponi was a no-show. And some quotes today in a story from Sam Carlin in The Advocate, one from Lionel Rainey, who is the campaign strategist for Ralph Abraham, saying he can't figure out why any candidate would not show up. And of course, Abraham is fighting Rasponi for second place in the primary, and then we'll see what happens if there is a run-up. Lane Grigsby, though, major GOP donor, and a supporter of Rasponi, says he doesn't think people are paying attention to forums and that it's no big deal that Eddie Rasponi decided not to be a part of it. Was that a strategic error on the part of Rasponi, or perhaps was it something that may, if he was going to make a gaffe, which might be possible for a newbie, maybe it was a good move on his part? How do you view it, Jeff Sato?
I don't know if it was a gaffe in the sense that Rasponi suddenly yesterday was minding his own business and said, oh, gee, I forgot. I need to go to a debate today. I mean, certainly there was some planning and calculation that went into that. These debates, for the most part, are, there's a point to the thought that, well, there's very little publicity. Very few people pay attention to them. They really don't do anything. That's become more and more the case as media technology has evolved, and we're into narrowcasting as opposed to broadcasting. If it was a problem, if it was an error, I think it would be a very small error.
Well, as we have talked about in Louisiana of late, the voters have not been energized by gubernatorial politics, and that was evident by the last cycle in which in 2015 Edwards and Vitter received fewer votes combined than Donald Trump received by himself in 2016. And Hillary Clinton, of course, received far more votes than did John Bel Edwards or David Vitter in a losing cause in a race that was really a wipeout in Louisiana. Hillary Clinton got nailed by 20 points in the state. Why are we not as excited about governor's elections as we used to be, Dane Sherman?
There's a lot. I hate to say it, but in Louisiana, politics is a form of entertainment in many ways, and it's just not as entertaining as it once was, perhaps because the competition is so high. I mean, there's so many other, not just political entertainment, but we have so many more outlets for entertainment or to keep our attention that I don't know that politics has the same, the same factor that it had in the past. So I think that's part of it. And if you want entertainment, President Trump will give you all you need. I think you can get your full fill of entertainment right there, and it's just not what it once was.
John in Livingston. John, good morning. You're on the air with Dane Sherman and Jeff Satto.
Good morning. I think I heard the comment made. Mr. Satow occasionally criticizes the governor. I would take issue with that every time I ever read his column in the newspaper, it seems exclusive to criticizing the governor. But what I would like to mention is the forum. It was kind of tossed aside that, well, these forums don't matter, and it really, it's not a big deal. But I would say that if John Bel Edwards had not been at the forum and Rasponi and Abraham had, Mr. Satow and some of his friends would make a big deal out of it that the governor didn't think enough of the people to show up for the forum. So it's funny how it just depends, as my father used to say, whose cow is hooking whose, but I guarantee you they would have plenty to say if John Bel Edwards hadn't shown up.
Is that fair, Jeff Satow? Thank you, John. Jeff?
Well, if 1 in 20 people in the state knew that debate went on and knew that Rasponi or in the hypothetical that Edwards didn't show up, I'd be surprised.
Well, debates now have become a rite of passage in political campaigns, but I'm old enough, and perhaps our two guests are as well, to remember when Richard Nixon won two terms for the presidency in 1968, 1972, and he didn't debate his opponents. He got his message when he lost resoundingly in debates to John Fitzgerald Kennedy. He didn't debate Humphrey in 68, and he didn't debate McGovern in 72, and he won going away. So, Dane Sherman, why is it a big deal for candidates for whatever office, dog catcher, governor, or president, to be at a debate? They don't have to do this. There's no law saying they have to.
Right. And I understand with Nixon, he just got flummoxed by John F. Kennedy, and I guess he learned a lesson. It just shows that Rasponi doesn't want it. I think that's what it shows. He's not that serious. I think it's it's probably something like a vacation for him. It's a little trivial something for him to. Now, I'm not saying that Abraham doesn't want it. I think he wants it. He's abandoned his job in Washington to do it, and so he wants it. He just wishes he had the $10 million that Rasponi's, allegedly going to spend. I think it's just low. It shows a lack of motivation on Rasponi. He's got everything to gain and very little to lose. I just don't think he's that interested. And let me add one thing, Jim, and this is probably the only thing that Professor Sadow and I will agree with is neither of us speak for our institutions, our employers, during this radio show.
Okay. Well, Jeff Sadow, a listener asks, this is Tracy at the Capitol, who is the better Republican candidate in your estimation, Abraham or Rasponi?
I think Abraham. You know, he's obviously got a little more service. He's obviously been in a high-level elective office. You know, that doesn't necessarily disqualify you not having been, but, you know, and there's some people that do that and don't do well. But, yeah, no, I think I'd give Abraham a nod.
Professor Jeff Sadow at LSU Shreveport, where he has been for almost three decades, and Dane Sherman at Southeastern Louisiana University, where he has been for some time. They're here on opposite sides of the political spectrum, speaking as individuals and observers, and we'll be back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana, and your number again, 877-217-5757. We always like hearing from you, and we have two seasoned observers of Louisiana politics qualifying next Tuesday through Thursday for all statewide offices, all legislative seats, and some more offices, including all the statewide offices as mentioned. So Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser will be down at the Secretary of State's office, as will the Secretary of State himself and the Attorney General and the Treasurer, the Ag Commissioner, the Insurance Commissioner. They're all signing up for re-election. Some have more serious challengers than others, and the governor has two serious challengers in Ralph Abraham and Eddie Rasponi. 877-217-5757. Jeff on the right, Dane on the left, and it's Paul Scott in Opelousas. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning. Just calling from the field. Opelousas, Ralph Abraham is our representative. We don't see him. Let's just face it. We don't see him. We do think Governor Edwards will retain his seat. Our worry is, though, after that, the governor is not term limited or not. Can you correct
me? He's term limited, two terms, but he can sit out and run again, but he can't run for three straight.
So that's our concern, is after he term limits out. But we do think Governor Edwards is gonna win again, because Abraham, we still to this day in Opelousas, if you put his picture along and just being kind to other mature white fellows, most people would know him.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Now, he brings up a good point, Jeff, in that the governor, if he wins, he can't run for a third straight term, which means there will be an opening in 2023 for governor. And I wouldn't be at all surprised that people like John Kennedy and Garrett Graves, who might be looking at this race, might think, you know, it might not be so bad for John Bell to win re-election, and then I'll be able to get the Republican nod, which will be most likely tantamount to victory in 2023. How do you think that squares?
Yeah, there is that line of thought out there. The Republicans in the state after Vitter's exit from the scene had at least in terms of figures for that kind of office, it was a fairly short bench. You had to kind of go looking at members of Congress like Abraham. You know, another 4 years, for example, Jeff Landry would do him very well. And, you know, anybody else who'd be thinking about doing it. So, yeah, sure. I mean, in a sense, you know, in a perverse way, if you're a Republican, sure, that this 4 years to build support, that might come in quite handy.
And Dane Sherman, it will be a bloodbath in 2023, I'm sure. And there are all kinds of possibilities in that year. In fact, many people close to Drew Brees says he would like to be governor of Louisiana. Can you imagine if he runs in 2023 when he's 44 years old? He would be a tough
candidate. I can imagine him winning, Jim. That's what I can imagine.
I can imagine
him wiping the floor. And by the way, if he's listening to this show, I could definitely help him with his campaign. And after John Bell wins another 4 years, and no, he'll basically sweep it, and it'll be his for 8 years if he wants it, unless he really screws up in the first term. So that's my basic view of Drew Brees, and you know, I think that's hard to counter. He would just sweep the field.
Well, and he is a conservative. He will be running as a Republican if he runs. So, but you know what? He's the greatest player in the history of the Saints, and I imagine a lot of Democrats would be voting for him.
Oh, it would be no contest. They'd be, all of them should just John Kennedy could just go out to the pasture because he'll never be governor.
877-217-5757 is your number. Still time to get in. Here's Phil. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Please turn down your radio. Phil, you're on the air.
Good morning, Jim. I'd like to know which candidates are going to have, like, an honest town hall, or do you have to, like, apply as a fascist and not have any gotcha questions? You know, there could be some honesty out there.
All right. Now, David Vitter, the much-maligned Senator Vitter, I'll give him this. He had hundreds of town halls, hundreds of them. John Kennedy has not had, to my knowledge, one town hall. And of course, we know that John Kennedy is able to speak before crowds and with microphones, but it is an interesting strategy that Vitter chose to go to these places where he had some vulnerability, as we know, and yet Kennedy and Cassidy, they've opted not to do this. What do you make of this?
Well, I think, you know, in Cassidy's case, he was subject to some shout-down tactics, and so he just dispensed with the whole thing. Kennedy, you know, I don't know what his preference is on these things, but the point is it's not going to matter for both of them. They're both going to get reelected regardless of whether they have town halls.
Are town halls important, Dane, or are they just window dressing?
It's window dressing. Yeah, I'm not saying I'm against them. I understand Phil's position, and I respect it, and I agree with Phil, but ultimately they control these things typically, it's a chance. You know, it put Vitter I don't think that anything horrible happened at one of them, but at any point somebody could have pulled a diaper out and thrown it on the stage. You know, I mean, it was not good for him. Potentially it could have been really bad for him. And with protest and, you know, people dressed up very crudely, and I can see the danger in it. But, you know, yeah, I'm for town halls, but ultimately does it change their trajectory as far as reelection? No, it does not.
Well, David Vitter did it, and it is a testament to his brass that he did. 877-217-5757, your number. Dan downtown. Dan, you're on with Professors Sato and Sherman. Hi, Dan.
Yes, professors. Would Drew Brees at least be a compassionate conservative, you know, along the lines of, say, Jay Darden, and not a right winger like Vitter or Landry?
All right. Well, Drew has shown a propensity to be litigious, and I'm not being unkind, but that's just a fact. He sued a lot of people, including his jeweler and his mother. But I don't know if that means he's compassionate or not. I don't think we know much about him other than the fact that he's a great quarterback. What's your take, Jeff Sato?
Interesting. That's a kind of a canard, this compassionate conservatism. It assumes that conservatism isn't already compassionate, and that's a false assumption. I'm not sure I could answer the question because of that.
All right. Dane Sherman, your thoughts about Drew Brees and whether or not he's a compassionate conservative.
Well, let me say this. He does seem to do a lot of community work.
He does.
More than maybe that would be expected of him. And he doesn't seem – I know about the litigiousness, and hopefully that would not be covered. That is not a necessarily a character issue. It's something that maybe he had to do for business reasons. But I think that he doesn't seem to be an unnice person, if that means anything. He seems really a nice family.
All right. Well,
and then that goes for him. You know, right. That helps. I think that would cover into his politics, I would hope.
Well, as we segue for a few minutes with Dane and Jeff about the presidential season, the Democrats had two debates this week. And did any of those candidates come across as nice people, Dane Sherman?
Marianne Williamson, maybe. She seems pretty nice, but I wouldn't want her running
against Donald Trump.
Anything? No, I wouldn't want her running for anything. I don't want her running anything. I don't want her running anything with a Democrat label on it. I think the gloves are off at this point with the Democrats, and at some points, probably they need to put the gloves back on, because they don't need to destroy each other en route to the presidency, or none of them will get it.
And we're about to go to a break, but Jeff, did any Democrat emerge from the pack as a likable candidate?
I was about to give the same answer, Marianne Williamson, but no, I don't think so. You know, maybe creepy Uncle Joe.
All right, creepy Uncle Joe. Wonder who he's referring to. I think his name might begin with a B. 877-217-5757. Next, it'll be Faye Williams, but a few more minutes with Dane Sherman and Jeff Saddo right here. Still time to get in after the news with Karen Henderson. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. And Matt Doyle is producing. In just a bit, we are slated to hear from Faye Williams, the national president of the National Congress of Black Women. Some disturbing remarks from former President Ronald Reagan are under review, and we'll get her take, Dr. Williams' take. But we're visiting with Drs. Saddo and Sherman, 877-217-5757. In our remaining time with these men, Jeff on the right side of the political spectrum and Dane on the left. And this is election season. Tomorrow will mark 10 weeks, 70 days from Election Day, and it's been rather quiet in Louisiana. In the next year, we gear up for the presidential election, and it's almost a given that Donald John Trump will carry Louisiana in 2020, but certainly not a given that he will win the presidency for a second term. Who is the best candidate among the Democrats in your estimation, Dane Sherman?
Well, there's no question it's Joe Biden, and I wish that the process would go on an end, and Joe Biden would have either Kamala Harris or Cory Booker as the running mate, and we'll get on and get on to beating Donald Trump.
All right, Jeff, who would be the most dangerous opponent for the president?
That's a tough one to say. The conventional wisdom is Biden, but Biden is. Got his own baggage in terms of some of the things he said, and also his connection with the Obama presidency. I think I'm still leaning in that direction. He'd be the most be the most difficult opponent for Trump, I'd say narrowly so.
Stephen in Denham Springs. Stephen, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Dane Sherman and Jeff Saddo. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm just bringing it back to Governor Edwards' run. I think he did a great job handling Hurricane Barry, and I think that he scored a lot of points with Louisiana voters. But how is it that in 2020, whenever the census comes about, is the governor in control of drawing congressional districts? Or I'm not 100% sure on how everything works like that, and that's kind of my question. But
all right, Stephen, what about the drawing of congressional districts? The legislature will do it, but the governor has a big say in it. How much of a say can Governor Edwards have with a Republican-controlled legislature, Jeff Saddo?
In terms of that particular question, none really. There are a lot of constraints that are placed upon how redistricting occurs coming from the federal judiciary. So, and some of that's still even being played out. So there's in many ways not a lot even the legislature can do about it, but the governor basically is given something and it's his chance to sign it or veto it. If it's vetoed, you got to go back and do it again. So very little control over it.
Dane Sherman, as far as the governor being able to control legislative districts, both in the state and in the U.S. House, he can be an impediment, but he's going to be dealing with an overwhelmingly Republican legislature. Does Jeff have a point that his arms or his hands are pretty much tied on this?
Yeah, his hands are tied. And an example, when John Alario didn't run for the House, and have the potential of being the speaker, of the House, it makes it a little harder. I was really hoping that that was going to take place, that Larry was going to run, and that he was going to, you know, hopefully end up as Speaker of the House, and that we could get some stuff done. But unfortunately, that's not to be.
Well, thank you, Professor Sherman in Hammond, and thank you, Professor Sato in Shreveport. Always good to catch up with you gentlemen, and we'll be calling again soon. Appreciate your insights. Thank you.